Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hunter, before we let you go, let's talk about your other bag, your style rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to the NBA as a whole, who has the
best?
By
the way, both of y'all, I see you with the hoodies, too.
Oh, man, trying to do what we can. I'm not Damian Barley, but, you know, I'm doing what I can.
Okay, calm down. Who's got the best style on the Sacramento Kings?
I would say probably Malik.
I would have bet Kenny's house you said Malik.
Yeah. Yeah. He's I like expressive fits, and he had a grill one time that was pink. He's pretty versatile. He came with like Doc Martin boots and a leather jacket, but he can also like put on different T-shirts and jeans, so he's pretty versatile.
So I mean, look, man, I don't feel like I'm an old guy. I feel like I'm pretty fashion forward. I dress good. I'm dressing with the times, but we just going back to the big wide legs now, huh? That's what we're doing now. I'm not a fan, Hunter. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of that. But that's what they're doing now. He's just going back to the big old wide legs, huh?
Yeah, history is definitely repeating itself.
Oh my gosh, it's so ugly.
People used to make fun of MJ and Shaq in the baggy suits and whatnot, but now we're seeing it all over again.
Come on, man.
I'd cut the first player who showed up in a baggy suit. Nah, we ain't doing that.
Didn't Jalen Green have it's kind of oversized suit on draft day?
Did he?
I think.
Yeah, I was actually working the draft at that time. I was still when I was working with the NBA, and I was there, and it was cool, but it was definitely reminiscent of like the OGs.
Jeez. Yeah, like it's all right. It's if ugly. if the pants so thing are back, like all right, shirts. Don't do the suits. Like don't yeah. You know, one of the, it was simple, and I love as your both the out there stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that. One of the coldest suits I saw like in the last couple of weeks was Steph's. Steph's at the White House. Oh my God! Yeah. I think part of it was the color. The color was just flawless. Nice. It was almost like this blue on my hoodie. Like, it was just a flawless color. Yeah. And I thought, it is the simplest suit, but it's perfect.
I definitely, that week, included it in the rankings and said that, too. Like, it was a pretty classic suit. Like, it's not anything that's hard to get or something you're not going to see often, but it went well, so.
Hey, I'm not even going to hate on this one. Kuzma getting number one, huh?
Kuzma getting number one. About,
I ain't even mad at him. I'm not mad at him. That was kind of swaggy.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll definitely probably have to include that just for shock value, but it won't be towards the top.
I wonder if I could show up at the Golden One Center in a cardigan with nothing underneath, open.
There's only you gotta one have requirement
your face, your knitted face mask.
Well, that feels like
one
a really
too. Them to let you do that is that Kuzma could have 30 or 40 low key at any point. So it's Kuz.
Yeah, I guess.
And he's known for doing kind of like he had a really baggy pink sweater one time.
Oh yeah,
that's iconic.
Yeah, so he takes risks all the time.
What'd you think of Shannon Sharpe's cardigan in the T Morant melee? That's been a subject of great discussion the last couple of days.
Yeah, that was. First, I mean, it was cool to see them like dap it up at the end, but I think it was just two people getting excited about the game, and I understand both sides. Like, if my son is Ja, I'm probably making T look like he just chilling at all games. But And I mean, and Shannon, he's a huge LeBron fan. They're like close friends. So,
but what'd you think of the blue, the baby blue cardigan that he had on?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was dope. I don't think I'll be able to pull it off like that, but Shannon, it was fire.
You could pull it off. That thing was fire.
It was nice. It was nice.
I'm gonna ask you something. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But is there somebody where you don't like their style in the NBA right now?
Because most times, like, if the teams or whoever is posting it, it's something that would be like a consensus, like, general thing. And if anything, nobody is just like pulling up to the games wild and like, people do have misses. Russ, people kind of get on him for having like hits and misses, but I've included him a few times. But yeah, guys just come in sweat sometimes, stuff like that. I don't think he's like,
I'm telling you, I'm not feeling SGA, man. I'm not feeling SGA's fits, man. I haven't seen many of SGA, and I know he's like the consensus number one.
Yeah, I think he got GQ's. Yeah, he got GQ's guy. Yeah,
I'm not feeling it, bro. I don't like the looks.
I'm not mad at it, but it's just so many different ways that people dress now. Like Jokic is seemingly only coming in suits. He has teammates who, like I said, like will show up in the Nike techs. So,
yeah. Jokic looks good. He I think he could calm down a little bit with his remarks about how he dresses, but I think he looks good.
Right, I agree.
His suits are hot. Hunter, we're locked in. Great work over there at The Athletic, man. Great work covering the Kings this season. We appreciate you so much. Look forward to talking again soon.
Likewise. Appreciate you, fellas.
Take care, big dog.
That's our man, Hunter Patterson. We got to get Hunter like his own show. I just want to listen to Hunter talk. Like, Hunter got that great voice.
He don't get his own show, Between the Sheets, on KSFM 102.5.
We're going to put him on there over on that HD2 station right. That play nothing but slow jams. Hunter's going to be the voice guy over there. Yes. It's Quiet Storm here.
Hunter, on 102.5 HD2. I was about to say, but what was the guy's name out of L.A.? I think he's an Asian guy. Theo. Hunter. Yeah. Theo Patterson.
Hunter Theo Patterson, indeed. That's bass right there. Yeah. So, man, Hunter. Good stuff from Hunter. If you're not following him on social media, do that. He is at every Kings game. Like, he is covering the Sacramento Kings. I love that. The better this team does, it's like, hey, y'all are late, but it's cool. Like, I get it. No one wants to cover a losing franchise. The better this team does, the more coverage we're going to get both locally from guys like Hunter and Anthony Slater, and nationally, obviously, in the publications at The Athletic. But you mentioned the Brian Windhorst podcast. I didn't get a chance to listen to the Hoop Collective podcast, but I did read the accompanying article with it that was just very – complimentary of Mike Brown and what the organization is doing. And I'm going to do the math. I don't know this for sure, but I'm doing the math in my head, knowing how the game works. I'd imagine Monty McNair is going to wind up on Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast pretty soon.
The math is math. And
I'm trying to make 1 + 1 = 2. That's all I'm trying to do right there. So it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff for us. It's good stuff for Kings fans in general. And trust me, we know firsthand how much Kings fans love to consume Kings related content. And the fact that it's out there more and more is a blessing for all of us.
And you know what, man? I know national media, they can do whatever they want, man. You know what I'm saying? Like they want to come around now. Like, sure. It's no big deal. There's only a certain few where I'm like, no, don't come around now. Like, I don't want to hear your opinions.
Coffee boy and little coffee boy.
Coffee boy and the barista.
That's it.
I don't want to hear what you have to say. Because people like that, they'll be like, you get mad when there is no national TV or national coverage. But when we talk about it, then you get mad at us. No, I only get mad at you guys. Everybody else in the national media, they can say whatever they want. They can come around and want to light the beam and do all this other stuff. That's fine. Those two, get my coffee and shut the hell up.
I do also. We talked about this last week with James. We established some parameters. Our man Matthew Beck here on YouTube.com/ESPN1320. I'm sorry, Bill Simmons cannot light the beam.
No, hell no.
Absolutely
no.
Not.
He said he's coming. If he wants, that's fine.
You can sit next to Vivek if you'd like to. You cannot light the beam.
No, hell no.
And if I'm Domas or De'Aaron or HB or Keegan or whatever player's over there doing that interview, getting ready to light the beam, and he puts his hand up, it's like, hold up, player. Back up. stand over there next to the owner, and we're gonna enjoy the show. 17,000 of us are gonna light the beam.
Just enjoy the show. You don't get to light the beam. You just enjoy the show.
Yeah, Bill Simmons don't get to light the beam.
You can come here, you know, because there are people who are, you know, I'm gonna treat it like trick. You can't come through here.
Yeah, that's right.
There are people like that. Bill Simmons is not on that list. You know, he don't have to tap in first. But
don't mean he gets to light.
No, you ain't lighting the beam, though, bro. Like, settle down.
James was on something. We need to establish some parameters about who can light the beam. Skilo can't light the beam.
No. Well,
50 can.
Skilo wasn't even asking.
He knew better.
He just got astray.
Well, no.
He wasn't even inquiring.
Oh.
And we had to remind him that you can't light the beam.
I think a great barometer. If you're a halftime show, you can't. Like, Wonder Mike can't light the beam. But, like, Warren G can. Warren Jiggy Jizzo can light. Too Short can light the beam.
Red Panda cannot light the beam.
Oh, man. There is no halftime act in the league that the fans are more invested in than that woman.
Oh, they were in their seats like the whole halftime.
Just willing her to get that last flip. And look, present company included, we're up there watching like, oh, I don't know. Doesn't look like she's got a good rhythm. I don't know. And then of course the first kick, the bowls go tumbling down, and second one comes around and the crowd's buzzing. The flip happens and
one of the biggest pops of the night.
You get that Austin pop. Yep.
It was unreal. I had never seen a halftime show get that kind of pop.
It was the biggest pop of the night until Keegan started draining threes in the fourth quarter.
Murray!
This was the Red Panda was the Friday night game against OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. David in here saying Ron Burkle wants to light the beam. Ron Burkle, once again, he's on the list.
Don't check in. You better check in
like trick. I'll deny you, but you better check in.
He can't even get into the Golden 1 Center.
No.
Don't even let that man in flat stick or echo on rig.
Hell no.
He can't
be in Doko.
Facts. He can go to Makuni down the street. He can eat there.
Can he?
Well, that's up to Taro. We'll let Taro decide whether he can eat there.
Ron Burkle can go to...
Taro's so nice, he'll let anybody eat
there. Ron Burkle can take his ass to Chicago Fire. How about that?
It's fine.
That's where he can go.
Is that a knock on Chicago Fire?
Take it however you want.
There goes our Chicago Fire sponsorship. Goddamn, man. Sorry, Stacy. He was about to... We was just closing it out, too.
Nah,
Chicago Fire, home of Ron Burkle. What? Like what? Why?
Well, I only picked Chicago Fire because they're far from Doko. Well, actually,
that works.
Actually, I take that back. The one I was thinking about is far from Doko. They have one in Midtown.
I thought so too, because I feel like I got something from there.
And
one
I think they have one on K Street. No, that's not a Chicago Fire, but they definitely have one in Midtown. I was thinking about the one in Laguna, so I was like far away from Doko, but yeah, they have one.
You got a Chicago Fire in Laguna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it you don't frequent there. He can't eat at Slim and Huskies. I know that.
Oh,
Ron Burkle
can't
eat at Slim and Huskies.
Hell no.
This man cleared his throat. That's the universal. That's the universal shine for shade. That man cleared his throat. Lord have mercy. James Hamm is going to join us at some point. No clue when. Eric Crocker is going to join us. We'll talk 49ers football coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk more Kings basketball. They take on the Toronto Raptors tonight. Much more ahead. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
If you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app yet, go do so. iPhone, Android, whatever your preference is, download the Odyssey app. Sign up, absolutely free.
Yeah.
Search ESPN 1320. That saves us, save us as your favorite radio station. You'll get alerted when D'Lo and Casey go live, and you'll get alerted when we go live Monday through Friday at 12. But you'll also get alerted when we go live off hours. They have a new feature on there that we're going to be taking advantage of, and it's kind of similar to Twitter Spaces. You could call in. It's got a chatty house.
Yeah, man.
It's got all of that stuff, and it's live there all in the Odyssey app. So we plan on launching this weekend following the Kings game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which coincides nicely with the Royal Rumble coming to a conclusion.
I was about to say, so, like, is it timing? Are we live?
We might be live.
We might be reacting live.
We might be live when the Royal Rumble is coming to a conclusion. Because I'm guessing the advertised time has started at 4. So my guess is it really 5 to 8 with an overflow likely 5 to 8:30. Kings game ends around 7:20, 7:30.
They got 5 o'clock start?
Right.
Okay.
So
yeah, it'll be about 7:30.
So we're going live like right after the game, and we'll be all within that Odyssey app. But you've got it. This won't be on YouTube. This won't be on Twitch, Facebook, nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's all within the Odyssey app, and we'll be able to take your calls. And, again, it's got its own little chatty house in there, man, so it's going to be fun.
No, it's going to be a good time for sure, man, absolutely. The Odyssey app, I mean, just another addition to that Odyssey app that is fire as it is. You know, I be having my ear to the street sometimes, you know, on the Odyssey app, and hey, man, I'm just telling you right now, I don't think there's a lot of respect going on for the NFC West champions this week.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot. Especially, you know, when I have my ear to the street out in Philly, oh, they think this is about to be a cakewalk. They think this
really?
Is about to be a cakewalk. Not a lot of respect going around, man.
Well, we're not showing Philadelphia the most respect in the world either when we say that the winner of the divisional round between the San Francisco 49ers and the Cowboys is going to the Super Bowl.
Good
so
point. Good point.
I guess I can understand where they're coming from.
Good point. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. I think in the actual game, we're here. We're like, yo, Philly is the real deal.
No,
this
Philly's
is going to be
legit.
A tough matchup. They think it's easy work.
Philly's legit. They've been legit all year. This is a scary game for a variety of reasons for the San Francisco 49ers. I do think the two best teams in the NFC played last week.
I think so, too.
That doesn't mean that the third best team isn't really, really good. And I think Philadelphia is the third best team. Of course, they have an opportunity to shut that all up Sunday.
And Aldrin, he's my guy, fellow Niner gang. It's all good. He said, Casey, you've been disrespecting the Eagles all season.
He ain't wrong.
I'll tell you this. The Eagles have been number one in my power rankings. You know who's never been number one in my power rankings? The 49ers. So who am I really disrespecting out here? Niners, I don't think the Niners ever got any higher than 3 in my power rankings.
You know what that sounds like to me? You ain't 49ers. I'm 49ers. That's what it sounds like to me.
You ain't no 49ers.
You ain't 49ers, pal. I'm 49ers.
I just, you know, I hear the way people talk about it. Then, you know, there's also some national media talking about it. And,
what okay, is the what's I'm curious. I'm not tapped into Philly. What's the explanation? What is the
Brock
dialogue?
Hardy.
Oh, that's
rookie
so,
quarterback
that's tired.
Coming
that's
to
so
Philly.
Tired.
The atmosphere is going to be too much. You
that's
know,
so
they
tired.
Got too many weapons. You know, the 49ers defense is a little shaky. You could pass all this other stuff, man. Like,
they got the ultimate neutralizer when it comes to Brock Purdy.
Mm.
And his name is Kyle Shanahan.
Mm.
He is the ultimate neutralizer. He doesn't. Ridiculous. We said this about Trey Lance. We said this about Jimmy Garoppolo. We could say the same thing about Brock Purdy. You're not replacing Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to go in there and throw for 350, 400 yards, four touchdowns, and zero interceptions for you to win. Mm-hmm. That is not what you have to do. The zero interceptions part is vital. Mm-hmm. It's important. Mm-hmm. But the 350, the big quarterback numbers, the long, you know, the big yard plays, that's not a thing here.
Yeah.
And it's not a position that I think Kyle Shanahan is going to put Brock Purdy in. And the reason I think that is because he hasn't. He didn't do it last week against the Cowboys. He didn't do it the week before against Seattle. And he hasn't done it in the seven other games that he's played this year. Yeah. I think the Brock Purdy thing is lazy.
And I also feel like with Brock, I think he's going to be fine. Like, that's the whole thing. I people are waiting for, you know, him to – fall off a cliff or anything. I've seen enough. He's not going to do that. Is he going to have this 350-yard game? I don't think so. I don't know anything about that, but I don't think he's going to have a 150-yard game either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be fine. He's going to make throws. He's the type of guy, and we've heard a lot of people talking about, you know, when they cover these 49ers games, they say the same thing. The players say the same thing. They talk about the poise. He ain't going to be shook by no Philly crowd. Or the moment, there's nothing in his nature that would say that, and that I've seen so far. And if he does, he'll snap out of it real quick. The time I saw him nervous, the time to get him was the first half of that Seahawks game. He looked a little like, oh, I'm in the playoffs, like this is different. Then he worked past that and threw for like 320 yards or something like that, three touchdowns. You're not gonna shake Brock Purdy. I don't believe that.
I'm completely with you. But are we gonna shake TC? See what TC got to say. 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on these phone lines, Eric Crocker gonna join us here shortly. James Hamm out doing some work in the common area. He'll be in with us soon. But let's see what TC's got going on. What's up, baby?
What's up, baby? What's up with my two brothers?
We good, bro. What's up? What's up with you, man? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good about this championship game. I just have one thing, Kenny. I'm gonna make it quick, D-Lo. Look, check it out, bro. I called in 95.7 to a bunch, then, bro. As Niner fans, bro, we gotta quit coming on these airways complaining about Eagle fans talking smack. We do the same thing, bro. Every week, we did it with Dallas. We do it with Seattle. We do it as Niner fans, bro. But something like another fan base when they come in and act like us, then we always gonna cry and complain and. We can't do that, bro. It has to be even across the board.
No, Philly fans are the worst fans in all the sports, like across sports. Like, Philly people, they're next level. Seahawks fans want to talk or whatever. I have my ears to streak with them. You know, they're fine. You know, talk your talk. Cowboys fans, they were extremely dismissive of the 49ers. You know, we heard everything they say. That's fine. Philly fans are obnoxious. They're the worst. They're the worst. So it ain't about complaining. It's about pointing out who they are. They're obnoxious, all right? And that's what we hear from Philly fans, you know? So it's and I'm just sitting back. I ain't complaining about it, TC. They say whatever they want. I'm just sitting back. I'm watching. And all I know, Matthew, is if you guys lose, don't get mad about how I bring that thing back around. That's all I'm saying.
Who's Matthew?
You know our man, Matthew. What's his last name? Matthew
Pearson? You're literally talking to someone on Twitter right now.
But you know him. Like, you know
Matthew. Oh, I know Matthew. Yeah. You were talking to TC.
Well, no, I was talking.
Then he started yelling at Matthew.
I was talking just in general. But Matthew's name came up right
there.
Yeah,
I got you.
But just in general, Philly fans.
Matthew being them social media threads hard when it comes to his squad.
And out of nowhere, be taking unsolicited shots. We talk about Niners' biggest rival and all this other stuff. We ain't no rival with the Eagles. We don't care about the Eagles. And he be going in on the 49ers. We don't care about the Eagles, Giants, and baseball. We don't care about the Phillies. And he always got something to say about the Giants and the 49ers. And it started on Saturday. He's not the only one. Mm. I'm just saying. I'm just looking around. I see a lot of dismissiveness for the 49ers. And all I'm saying is I like – I like the 49ers' chances on Sunday. I think they're going to win on Sunday. I feel good about this team. I feel good about what they come to the table with. It's good.
Who was talking about you?
Oh, that was you with our man Matthew there, just out of nowhere. I felt like Aaron Andrews.
Who was talking about you?
I don't know, Aaron. It caught me off guard a little bit.
Matthew's, he likes the Kings, though, so he's all right.
Oh, no,
even
Matthew's.
He's a Sixers fan, but he liked the Kings, man. That's my guy.
Matthew's good people.
But he's not my guy on Sunday for 3 hours.
And that's all right. Ain't no wrong with that, man. That's the beauty of sports, right? That's the beauty of what all of this is. Just I just don't know how you watch. I don't know how you watch the San Francisco 49ers over this stretch. And maybe that's the difference between you, me, and most of the people listening to this, is we have watched them for the better part of the last, you know, 9 weeks here. And 8-9 weeks. And there's enough to where, and we started saying this like 3 weeks ago, like, yo, I don't think Brock is going to be shaken. Like, shaken. I'm not saying he can't have a bad game, and I'm not saying he can't make a mistake. But everyone is waiting, like, for jitters, and they're waiting for the moment where he like, crumbles. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's very, very literally zero evidence that we have any reason to be concerned about that. Mm-hmm. But yet it's still a narrative that's being run with. And the only thing you have to go on is that he's a rookie quarterback starting. And not just that he's a rookie quarterback, but he's a rookie quarterback who was taken so late in the draft that you feel like if you don't have anything else to say about it, you could just hang your hat on that.
Right.
And it feels weak to me.
It is.
Man, we haven't seen our guy, Crocky.
It's been
a minute, man.
That's my guy, Crocky, man.
Look, he got a new studio and everything, man. Our man, Eric Crocker, here with us for the first time in a long time. Crocky, what's happening, baby? Oh, Crocky, I think you might be muted, bro.
Check one, two. Uh-oh.
Oh, man, this is disastrous. We were just... Crocky, we can't. Just want to make sure we good in there, right, Jesse? We good on our end?
Yeah.
Crocky's working on it.
He working on it. But hey, man, this guy Crocky.
Crocky doing the old plug.
Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, there he is. There we go. We got you, Crocky.
My daughter messing with my mixer. So
always blaming on the kids. When all else fails, blame it on the kids.
100%.
I got Crocky back up here in D'Lo Casey. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. Life is good. I think the last time we talked, 49ers weren't in a great place. But now, man, 12 straight wins and things are looking up.
Yo,
man.
Did we jinx it?
I hope not.
We haven't talked to Crocky since they were in. Now we
hey,
got
quick,
Crocky.
Get Crocky off here. Get him off the show. Quick.
I think the last time I was on, I think they started the run.
There we go. You threw something out on social. Are you making a move to Philly?
I was thinking about going, but, you know, I'm coaching 707. I think they're tying me down Saturday. So I was looking at all the flights, and I think I would have to fly out Saturday. Mm. And because of this practice we have scheduled, and we need it, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's going to kind of prohibit me from being able to fly out there. But I want to, though.
Yeah,
I want to.
Boy, Crocky, he be everywhere. I'll tell you that, man. Hey, so one of the things I talked about is, you know, I'm hearing things. You know, I got my ears to the street, Crocky. You know how we do, and – I don't know. I just feel like I'm hearing a lot of dismissiveness when it comes to the 49ers in this game. And, you know, I'm hearing it from Philly. I'm hearing it nationally. Are you hearing the same things? And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of that stems from the quarterback position. And as well as Brock Purdy has played, people, the media, they're going to lean towards the more explosive or exciting quarterback. And I think that is Jalen Hurts. You know, he's a guy who had an MVP caliber season. I think like the 49ers, he's loaded with talent as well. But I think all things being equal, if you look at quarterback to quarterback and say, hey, this is what it's going to come down to, I think people have more faith in what they know of Jalen Hurts. And I think that's why they're trending towards that way. That's what it feels like, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't had a hiccup like his. Do you see a weakness in Brock Purdy in what you've watched so far?
No, I haven't seen a weakness. I mean, I guess if you're just saying, you know, his style of play or his skill set, you know, he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's figured out how to really maneuver around that. You know, he doesn't take some of these risky throws. I think a lot of the throws that he makes are throws that he's comfortable with. I think the throws that Kyle's comfortable with. If he's forced to, you know, be down and it's like, all right, now you have to be the guy, maybe that's what people are kind of waiting on. But I would say, I mean, I think the Raiders game, that was a game where he had to face a lot of adversity. And he came through in any type of situation that they needed him to. I think if you look at this last game against the Cowboys, and it wasn't this amazing numbers game on paper, but when you just watch some of the throws that he made in these key times and what Kyle was asking him to do and the trust that he showed in him, I think he was big time. So I don't know what more people want to see. Again, from a talent standpoint, he doesn't really compare as much to Jalen Hurts, but with the production, I think he really does.
Yeah, I thought he played well against the Cowboys. Like you mentioned, it didn't show up in like this super stat line, even though stat line wasn't bad, but it wasn't like the Seahawks game. But you talk about the throws that he made, the timely throws that he made. I thought he played well, especially the way that I gave a lot of credit to the Cowboys' defense. I thought they balled out. They played as well as I've seen that defense play, especially in the front seven all year. And I gave them more credit than saying, oh, Brock Purdy didn't do this and that. I thought Brock played well. Damian said it at the beginning of the playoffs, and I agree with him 100%. If the 49ers lose at any point in these playoffs, it's not going to be because of Brock Purdy. I'm confident in saying that.
I think you could say it won't be because of him. But, again, you are just waiting to see, like, when you have to be the more talented person, will that kind of pop up? And I don't know, because so far he's answered the question at every test that I've had for him personally. So I don't even know what that looks like. But I know Jimmy Garoppolo, I remember there were times where it's like, yeah, a lot of people say, oh, you can't win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You just might need things to be a little bit more ideal. And I think for Jimmy – especially in these, you know, late playoff runs, things were more ideal until they weren't. Then I was like, all right, Jimmy, you got to make a play. He wasn't quite capable of doing it. He's like, hey, this is all I got for you. All right, Brock Purdy, we'll see when it gets to that point. But again, so far he's answered all the questions. Will there be a time where you're like, all right, we need you to actually be more than what we've even seen so far, right? Like, he hasn't had that game where he has to throw the ball 40 times to win. Right. And hopefully it doesn't even come to that. Right. But if it does, is he capable of just being that guy where it's like, we can't run the ball. You know, you got to make throw after throw after throw, big time throw after big time throw. And what does that look like if he's forced into that type of situation? But again, 49ers do a really good job of not putting any of their quarterbacks in that type of situation typically. But then in that one moment when you do have to be that guy, can you do it? Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't. We hope Brock Purdy can.
Crocky, when you could speak from that defensive back perspective, when you've got a defense as talented as it may be, and the San Francisco 49ers defense is as talented as there is one out there, but they're going against one of the top offensive lines, if not the top offensive line in the National Football League, what type of challenges does that create for you as a defensive back when you've got such a vicious offensive line up there?
Yeah, that's one of the games where you come out of it and everybody thinks that the secondary sucks or you got to replace everybody in the secondary. And it's like, man, hey, look, we had to cover for too long, man. You know, that's what I would be saying. You know, I think the bigger issues for the 49ers against the Raiders the Eagles, it won't be because of offensive line play or defensive line play or anything like that. It will, in my opinion, come down to their ability to really defend the RPO. And when I watched the 49ers against the Miami Dolphins, I don't think that they did a great job of defending the RPO. Now, Tua was terrible. I mean, he just missed throw after throw, wide open guys. If you go back and watch that game, wide open guys he's just missing. And I think the reason for those guys being so open was because of the RPO scheme. So how do the 49ers defend it? The Eagles definitely can be a team that are RPO heavy. Hurts really executes that at a high level. And then when you talk about the run after catch guys, kind of like the 49ers, but Debo Samuel and these guys, man, they got A.J. Brown out there, man. They got Devontae Smith. You know, those are 2,000-yard receivers. I think some people, I saw someone tweet out that the Eagles tight end is better than the 49ers tight end, which I think is crazy, but that just shows you that, hey, these guys have weapons too. And if you let the RPO game hit you like it potentially could have against the Miami Dolphins, I think that could be more of the issue than the offensive line versus defensive line.
I want to flip sides of the ball real quick and talk about the 49ers offense going up against the Eagles' defense. I talked about it just a second ago. I thought the Cowboys' defense for the first 2.5 quarters or so before, you know, the Niners did their thing, and also they probably ran out of gas a little bit too. But I thought they played as well as any defense had against the 49ers all year long. I know the Eagles have a really good defense as well. They get to the quarterback, obviously, like 70-plus sacks on the season. Do they have that same sideline-to-sideline speed to kind of help on those tosses and the Debo plays that the Cowboys showed on Sunday? Or are they just straight, we get after the quarterback, and maybe there's some things that 49ers can exploit elsewhere?
I think the Cowboys have a guy that runs sideline to sideline, and he can really cover the whole field. We're talking about Michael Parsons, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're asking me, does Philadelphia have Michael Parsons? No, they do not. Now, they do have Hassan Reddick, and he's a guy that got a ton of sacks this year. He's a guy that can definitely get pressure. They got some big guys in the middle there. If Jordan Davis is healthy, the rookie out of Georgia, that clogs things up in the middle. Obviously, you know, you have Fletcher Cox. He's a little bit older, but he clogs things up in the middle. So, you know, that's kind of the anchor of their defensive line right there. And one thing I've noticed with the 49ers, man, the run game has been a little hit and miss, right? You kind of look through, you kind of just, you know, box score scout, and you look and you say, man, like, you know, the run game, it wasn't great here, but, oh, man, they had an explosive run, and that really helped things out. Can they get the run game going better than they did early in the last game? And, you know, if y'all remember early on, it felt like, man, I'm like, man, is there going to be any room for Christian McCaffrey to run up here? Because it was like 2 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards. You know, it wasn't anything crazy. So I expect the 49ers to really stick with it. At some point, can those run lanes open up for Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and the 49ers like it did against the Dallas Cowboys? That'd be huge. But as far as side-to-side guys, I think their main strength is really in that middle.
Mm-hmm. If the 49ers lose on Sunday, what do you think happened?
I think they did not take care of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about last game. You know, you had one turnover, and look how close it was. I know the final score won't really say it, but I think, until about 3 or so minutes left in the third quarter, it was a 9-9 game. Mm-hmm. So you weren't really scoring, right? And then you turn the ball over. That could have been really dangerous as well. They were able to kind of weather some of those storms. But if you turn the ball over against the Philadelphia Eagles team, who they can really be a high scoring volume team, as can the 49ers. Mm-hmm. But they just, you know, Eagles just kind of do it in a different way. So if you turn the ball over, you're going to put yourself behind the eight ball. And I don't think that's the team you want to do that against.
We ready, Crocky. We ready. Let's go. I feel good about the Niners. Yeah. I feel good about the Eagles are a really good team. They're a really good team. It's a tall task. I understand that. But I think the 49ers, with the way they run the ball, with the way Purdy protects the ball or has shown to protect the ball so far, and their defense, I think they have the formula to go into a place like Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game and come out of there with a win.
Yeah, you get to this game, man, NFC Championship game, it's good on good. And I talked to my brother. My brother's a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. And one of the buddies in the chat, they asked, like, oh, did the Cowboys lose the game or did the 49ers win it? And my brother's like, oh, the Cowboys, they just lost the game. Like, 49ers. It's like, dude, when you get down to this point in the playoffs, it's typically when it's good on good, you just got beat, right? And when you look at this game coming up here, I know there are some people kind of, oh, man, Philadelphia. Well, Vegas thinks that if this game was played at a neutral site, the 49ers are the favorites. Mm. So clearly the 49ers are cooking with something here. The Eagles have the edge because they're away. What would that environment be like? Sounds like it might be crazy. But ultimately, man, this is good on good. It doesn't get any better than this, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Crocky, great catching up with you, man. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for making time with us.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Take care, big dog.
That's a man, Eric Crocker right there. Locked on 49ers, wherever you get podcasts from. You can check that out again, Locked on 49ers. Crocky's one of the best. And Hammer's one of the best.
Yeah, he is.
What's up, Ham?
There he goes.
Hi, friends.
How are you, man?
Hey, they lucky I'm not going to Philadelphia. I'll be charging everybody, Philadelphia, yeah, be scared. I mean, I'll be right in the belly of the beast. I'd be worried about no Philadelphia. I'd be right in there with whatever, Joe Montana, Trey Lance, you know, Kaepernick. I'd probably go with the Cap. I'd be worried about Philadelphia. They lucky I ain't going to the link. I'd be all up in there.
By yourself, because I wouldn't go.
Feeling some fake tough guy vibes.
I ain't worried. Hey, man, I ain't worried about the link. I'm worried about the link for. Worried about no link.
Too cold out there. I ain't gonna go sit in the cold to watch no football game. I feel good about the 49ers. I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. But I think Philadelphia is one of the best teams in the NFC. This is going to be a fight.
It's going to be an absolute fight.
It is the
best game the NFC could offer this year.
What kind of game will we get tonight, though, when the Sacramento Kings take on the Toronto Raptors? We'll talk with James Hamm about that when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader. It's D'Lo KC, James Hamm on ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
ESPN 1320, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and youtube.com/ESPN1320. If you're watching on any of the video streaming platforms, make sure that you like, subscribe, hit the thumbs up. Just show your support for D'Lo and KC and ESPN 1320 wherever you are. We would greatly appreciate it, just as we greatly appreciate our good buddy James Hamm. Making the trip out here before the game to hang out with us as we get ready for Kings basketball tonight. The Kings and the Toronto Raptors, two teams that look a little bit different than the last time we saw them play. But let's start with the news that we got right around this time yesterday. The extension is finally complete. Monty McNair will be the general manager for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we're looking at a three-year extension for Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox, his assistant GM. This is something, it's weird, you know, like Damian and I, we started hearing the potential of this in early December and kept being told, no, it hasn't, nothing's happened. And then this kind of snuck up on them. Like, I don't know that they were fully prepared for this thing to hit like it did yesterday. So I'm not quite sure how that happened, but, you know, there is no press conference as far as that I know of at this point.
Well, I would think you would know.
Yeah,
I would think you'd be one of the first to know if there was one.
Probably, I would probably know. But, you know, you would kind of think that this is one of those things where you at least want something short and sweet with, you know, Vivek and Monty and Wes. And, you know, just like we're all in on this group and we're excited to move forward with them and all that stuff. But we haven't.
Vivek's not talking. Did Vivek talk when Monty was hired? I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did either.
That was Zoom era, and I don't remember a Vivek Zoom.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I've talked to Vivek, like, standing courtside with him quite a few times over the last maybe month. Mm. Not long conversations, but, like, he's very, very excited. He's also, like, super intense on, like, the day-to-day. Like, how is this team today? Like, how are we going to win? Like, he really, really wants a winner. And so that's the entire focus. And, like, hats off to him. The way to win is to be stable. That's the way to win in the NBA. Stability is how you win. And by doing the right thing by Monty and Wes, by doing the right thing this summer and allowing Monty to choose the right head coach, look at how well that's turned out. Yeah. And that's something I think we have to – it's on Monty's resume already. I mean, that's – but we can't forget how valuable that piece has been. The Mike Brown hire has just been tremendous. And we don't know what, you know, Steve Clifford or, you know, Mark Jackson or name that potential head coaching candidate would have been. But we do know that Mike Brown has been phenomenal.
They wouldn't have been this.
No.
I could, what?
It's
Steve
hard.
Clifford, yeah. I don't think would have been
no,
this.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
Mark Jackson, who knows? Probably not. But, I mean...
Mike Brown Mike was the is a perfect coach here. For this team.
100%. Yeah. You said it when before he was hired. You said it.
That's
was on,
right.
He was on that.
That's right.
We got to give Vivek credit though for demanding they take Keegan Murray. You know, everybody else wanted Jaden Ivey, but it was only Vivek who said, "I want Keegan Murray."
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. Hmm. That's how we feel too. Hmm.
I do know. I'll tell you this. Like
was
I had
sarcasm there for those listening on the radio.
Yeah, I had conversations yesterday, and they're not moving Keegan Murray at all. Like there isn't one of those things where that there's a deal out there. Like, I mean, sure, if one of those once in a lifetime deals came along, maybe they would think about it. But they have a very, very high opinion of Keegan Murray, and I think it's only been bolstered by the last 2 to 3 weeks.
As they should. James, the thing, and Kenny and I do this almost every day now because the way Keegan's playing is, it's like, hey, Keegan's playing really well. What's this dude going to look like next year?
What's,
or the year after?
Yeah, like two.
Or the year after that.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, they believe he'll be as good as Lauri Markkanen or better. Like, I think that they think he'll be better than Lauri.
Yeah.
Like, very, very clear. Yeah. So they're not moving him in that deal. And, like, we always say that, like, I've never sat here and said I would trade Keith.
Liar!
I haven't. What I have said is that when you call any NBA franchise, you call the Toronto Raptors and you say, hey, I like OG Anunoby.
Yep.
What is it going to take? The
Keegan
first
Murray.
Thing out of their mouth is going to be Keegan Murray.
That's where all the discussions start with the Kings.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
that's where they end for the Kings as well.
Yeah, you pivot and you say, okay, well, how many picks, like, instead? Because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
No, I look at Keegan. I've been talking about this with Damian the last, you know, week or so, and I just envision. I wonder, you know, what he looks like in 2 and 3 years. And if he can get that handle right to the point where he's able to create off the bounce on a regular, oh, man, you talk about Lauri Markkanen and you know, people thinking he's going to be better than Lauri Markkanen. That's what Lauri, and he's got a lot. Lauri's balling. He's an all-star. But that's what he doesn't have. Like, he not, hey, give it to him at the top of the key and he going to dribble break you down. If Keegan can get that to go along with how he catches and shoots, whew, sky's the limit.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, he might have that. He's just not showing it. Mm. So, I mean, that's what I kind of dig about Keegan, is that he listens really well. He understands exactly what the coaching staff wants from him, and I think early in the season, almost too much. Mm. Like, he's almost like reading the syllabus and following each step, and he knows exactly what it is that the coach wants from him on week one and week two, and he's so focused on, you know, following the rules. And then every once in a while you watch him and you're like, oh, that's Summer League Keegan. Or, oh, that's Iowa State Keegan. Is Iowa? No. Iowa?
Yeah,
Iowa, not right. Iowa State.
Yeah, regular Iowa.
Yeah, regular Iowa. Yeah, yeah. So that's what you start to, like, see these moments where you actually see that player. And if he can translate everything that he was at the college level to the pro level, then the Kings have a star-level player.
So you think is he playing at the level he is right now because he's relaxed a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, the confidence is there. He's gone through some tough patches. He understands that when he goes through tough patches that Mike isn't going to just bench him and go away from him. Mm-hmm. He's going to yell and scream at him. He's going to direct him. He's going to cut back his minutes here and there, but he's not going to lose his job. He's there for the long haul. He's going to be the starting small forward or power forward for this team probably for the next decade. And he just needs to get comfortable in his role and keep building. And look, the Kings don't need that. Like, Mike Brown made a really interesting comment, was it yesterday? Because I asked him, to me, we were always waiting for this offense to get more intricate, right? So every single play would have, like, all of these variables off the plays. And as a team got to understand the offense longer and longer and they got better at it, they would do some different things that, you know, we're only seeing like 1.0. And I don't think that we've seen a lot of differences in this offense. But what we have seen is they've just got so much better at the basics that where they were getting good passes early in the season, they're now getting perfect passes in position to fire, to shoot. Mm-hmm. And that's where this team is taking off because we were watching, like, they got these same looks 3 months ago or 2 months ago, and we didn't see what we saw in the game against Memphis where they, you know, hit their first 10 threes and 12 of 13 to start the game, and mm-hmm. they finished, like, 22 of 40 from three, like something crazy, right? It's not that the shots are different. It's that every single pass is different. Every single pass has gone through a refinement, and so now they're getting these perfect balls to shoot. And we're just going to keep seeing them get better and better. And Mike even said, hey, like, we were waiting for this thing to kind of grow organically, like what we're talking about here, where we would just keep adding stuff. He's like, but we also said, we're going to let the players dictate some of the things that happen. Mm. And he said, we had this play with Sabonis is at the top. Harrison Barnes comes around the top and then, you know, they drag Keegan Murray out up higher. And then all of a sudden, they realized that Sabonis could hit Harrison Barnes standing down on the block for a wide open layup, and they just start doing it again and again and again. And they said, we didn't know that that wasn't even in our book of how this offense would work. But now it's become like a staple of our offense that play is part of it. And it's all happened organically where these players who each have their unique skill set are sort of growing together in a way that they didn't know. And I think that's the beauty of a guy like Sabonis, the beauty of the skill set of a guy like Fox. Like what happens off of what they do, there's all kinds of things that will continue to grow and happen with this team, and it'll all be organic. It won't have to be forced. And we can see this saying, it doesn't mean they're going to start scoring 160 a night, but what it can mean is that they can be so much more efficient. And we're already seeing it. I mean, they're number one in offensive rating again as of today. It's the number one scoring offense in the league. They got to get better defensively. We're not going to talk about that side of the ball all that much. But the offensive side, we're seeing some really beautiful things, and it plays into what Keegan does. Keegan, that's what Mike said. He said, like, look, we understood that Herter and Barnes would start to pick up on these things quickly because that's who they are. They're smart, you know, seasoned NBA players. But now we're seeing Keegan fit into that as well. And he's starting to grow, and he's starting to understand different ways that he can pin down a guy differently than everyone else can because of his post game and find an easy bucket for himself. So, yeah, it's really fun to watch.
You know, I'm glad you brought all that up because, you know, I think a lot of the times, myself included, we want them to play a certain way, like damn near flawlessly, perfectly execute. This group's been together like 45 games. You know what I mean? And we look at a Memphis or the way this Warriors been together 8 years. That's why they can just make things seamlessly. These guys hadn't been together 8 months. And to hear you talk about how they're starting to get not even they have a grasp, they're starting to see things and get a grasp on it. I think that's a great job by you to just kind of put it all in perspective. Like, this is the beginning stages, hopefully, of something that we see for a few years. But this is
six
at the
championships.
Very, there you go.
There it is. We can count the six that they should at least win.
Well, that's the Kenny Caraway logic. Yeah.
There's definitely going to be some sun.
We can add it to the 2002 and probably the 2003 of should have won. No. And we could get up to six.
Do the yellow tag on the back of the jersey? I think the Kings had a yellow tag on the back of it, the gold tag. Remember they used to do that? I don't think they do that no more. The gold tag for everybody that won a championship, and they had the number on the tag on these teams' jerseys. I remember because the Clippers had no gold tag. Kings had a gold tag, though. They gave them the Royals one.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Interesting. I
never knew that.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch this team, though, to watch them grow. And we don't know where they'll be in a couple of years, but what we do know is that they're already so much better this year, and they're only getting better. Like we can keep watching them, and every single game they seem to be getting better. And I think the other point I'd make is, like, people forget Sabonis turned the ball over 8 times, and Fox had 6 turnovers in the win against Memphis, yeah. And they pounded that team.
Yeah,
I mean they turned the ball over 20 times, and they won by 30. I mean, and you can say, well, Jaw's not there and Stephen Adams not there. Now, Stephen Adams is out 3 to 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous blow to them. All of a sudden, that 3.5 game lead for the number 2 seed, that doesn't look nearly as secure as it was before. So you're starting to see, like, hey, like, if this team keeps winning, this road trip means a lot, this 7-game trip. Yeah. But what are there?
That's
six,
crazy.
6 winnable games on the trip.
What is this, the rodeo road trip? Like, I can't do this. 7-game
road trip. It is. They are
trip.
Bringing in PBR. They are.
That's real? Yeah. This is the rodeo road trip? I thought that only happened in San Antonio. Well,
it's
there
funny.
You have it.
I remember when they did the rodeo in a couple of years ago, right before, I think it was Katy Perry came in. And they said that when Katy Perry's music started going, started shaking dirt from the rafters everywhere from the rodeo because they have to bring in so much dirt that the stadium inside, like, it's hiding all over the place. And they're like, oh, man. Like,
was this Arco or Golden One?
Golden One.
Oh, goodness.
No.
Wait, there was dirt in the rafters?
Yeah, there's dirt because, I mean, you don't just, like, dirt doesn't just magically show up.
I thought it was.
Oh no, you
like,
gotta bring that stuff in, and every
I thought
time
it was like fresh dirt every time. Like I didn't know they stored it.
Oh no, no, no! I'm saying it got everywhere. Oh,
getting it in and getting it out was
a dirty job. Yeah, and the stuff's everywhere.
Messy.
Yeah,
they could go to the Memorial Auditorium.
Who could?
The PBR.
Oh, I don't. I think they could.
Motocross in there too.
Would
and
it
they
be
do
big enough?
Yeah, I don't know.
They could go to Cal Expo. Yeah, don't get our arena dirty.
Yeah.
We don't need bulls in there. We don't need don't circuses in there. Whatever the hell you are, go to Cal Expo.
Don't you get it dirty?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.